WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. We meet the doctor who got the first COVID-19 vaccine at Sentara RMH in Harrisonburg. A statue of civil rights hero Barbara Johns, the Farmville teenager who became part of the case that outlawed segregated schools in 1954, will replace Robert E. Lee at the U.S. Capitol. And been working from home this year? We've got some tips on how to help your dog adjust when you go back to work at the office. This is the WMRA Daily for Friday, December 18th. The number of new COVID-19 cases continues to remain high for Virginia. The state reported 3,853 new cases on Thursday, putting the current seven-day average at more than 3,500, according to the Virginia Department of Health. Rockingham County reported 110 new cases, the county's highest single-day case count to date. And Harrisonburg tied its second-highest single-day case count with 95 new cases. The death toll in Virginia from the disease is now more than 4,500. According to the Virginia Hospital and Healthcare Association, ICU occupancy is at 80%, but with unused surge bed capacity, that rate drops to 54%. Well, the first round of Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine was shipped out to hospitals across Virginia this week, and frontline healthcare workers at Sentara RMH got their doses on Thursday. WMRA's Calvin Pinn spoke with the first person there to receive the vaccine.
Dr. Mark Nesbitt signed up to get the COVID vaccine early Thursday morning before a shift in Sentara RMH's emergency department. As an ER doctor, he is among the hospital's high-risk providers invited to get it first.
Providers, OBGYNs that are having to do deliveries, ENT providers, you know, that they're near the airway, anesthesiologists.
This is the first of two doses required for Pfizer's vaccine.
You're seeing about 95% efficacy after the second, a little over 50% after the first. And that even that benefit, you're not going to see until it has the time to work.
And with a three-week waiting period between doses, that means the precautions to keep the virus under control are still paramount, especially while cases are spiking.
Well, I probably saw five today that are having to be hospitalized. So, yeah, we're definitely having a surge now.
Another reason he's glad to be among the first to receive the vaccine.
It just feels like this is kind of the start of the next phase of management of this disease. And hopefully as the high risk, more and more high risk people get it, we can see things start to drop off and people hopefully can start to have some more normalcy to their life.
For WMRA News, I'm Calvin Penn.
2 days after the winter storm, there are still a few thousand customers without power in the Piedmont area. As of early Friday morning, more than 1,100 customers of Rappahannock Electric Cooperative in Culpeper County were without power. And in Orange County, nearly 1,000 households and businesses still had no power. A state panel has recommended that a statue of civil rights hero Barbara Johns represent Virginia at the U.S. Capitol in Washington, D.C., instead of Confederate General Robert E. Lee. The Richmond Times-Dispatch reports that the Commission for Historical Statues in the United States Capitol voted 6-1 on Wednesday in favor of Johns over four other finalists. Johns was a schoolgirl who led a walkout at Farmville's Moton High School in 1951 to protest the students' substandard segregated school facilities. The Farmville case was part of a lawsuit that led to the landmark Supreme Court ruling that found officially segregated public schools unconstitutional. Like every other state, Virginia has two representatives in the collection of statues at the Capitol. The state's other statue is of George Washington. Virginia's General Assembly still must sign off on the commission's pick. Fallout from President Trump's refusal to accept the results of the election may be extending into the Virginia State Senate. Michael Pope with Virginia Public Radio reports.
Senator Amanda Chase says President Trump should declare martial law and conduct a new election, leading to some discussion about whether the Senate of Virginia should expel her.
I know that it's been discussed among senators.
That's former Republican delegate David Ramadan, now at George Mason University's Schar School. He's calling on lawmakers to take action to expel her, which would require a supermajority vote in the Senate.
If calling for martial law after a perfectly constitutional election is not disorderly behavior, I don't know what is.
Chase is not a member of the Senate Republican Caucus or a member of her local Republican committee in Chesterfield, but she is a Republican candidate for governor. The party is planning a convention to nominate its candidate for governor next year, and Democratic strategist Ben Tribbett says he doubts the party will exclude her as a candidate because she's not a member of the party.
It would be explosive for the Republicans to exclude her as a candidate, given the type of support that she has among some of the most extreme elements of the base. And so I think they will allow her to be a candidate, and I think she will be a very viable candidate at that convention. And probably a first-place candidate on the first ballot. The question is, how close to 50% will she get, and will the other candidates be able to consolidate behind each other?
Tribbett also says he's not sure Democrats would be interested in expelling Chase, whose actions he describes as a gift that keeps on giving for Democrats. I'm Michael Pope.
Finally today, the pandemic sent lots of us home for work in late March, and many workers have settled into that routine as the pandemic worsens, and so have their dogs. The upheaval in our schedules and our everyday lives has affected our canine friends, too. So how can we help our dogs adjust when we head back to the office? WMRA's Jason Barr reports.
Debbie Kaywood is the director of the Augusta SPCA, which, like many organizations, has struggled with keeping a staff employed. But there's an unexpected benefit to more people working from home. Since March of this year, the Augusta SPCA has had 465 adoptions. Now, that's actually a drop from last year's 707 dogs being adopted, but it's for a good reason. On a regional level, there just aren't enough dogs to go around.
And everyone is facing the same situation with the lack of dogs available for adoption. We've been getting one in a month, and they come in on, say, a Friday, and by Wednesday the next week, they're adopted in their forever homes.
Dr. Garrett Smith is a veterinarian at the very busy Ashby Animal Clinic in Harrisonburg, where he took some time from his break to talk with me. He agrees that there are some positives to this pandemic. For one thing, pets are getting a lot more quality time with their human.
I would say in general, we've had more positive things where owners are saying that their dog seems more just interactive with them. Like, a lot of pets genuinely seem like they're enjoying their owners being home more.
But our four-legged companions can also sense when we're having a tough time.
Dogs are very much biofeedback devices. So we have been feeling stressed. It's just been awful on humans.
Molly Brennan is a tester for the American Kennel Club and the Alliance of Therapy Dogs. She helps dog owners train their dogs to become good canine citizens. Brennan says that, like humans, dogs may be struggling with stress during this pandemic, too.
And the only time in a natural pack a dog leader would get stressed and tense up is if they're preparing to fight to protect the pack. Well, we're tense all the time. Since March, I've been tense, okay? So that is sending a message to the dogs that unless they see a grizzly bear in the distance, they don't know how to cope with because they're not seeing, well, where is it? Where's that danger? They are mirroring our stress levels.
And when the vaccine arrives and we start to return to a new normal, it's important to not only prepare ourselves, but to prepare our dogs too.
Dogs are big lovers of routine. You can't make an abrupt change without it freaking your dog out, basically. So if you know that it's possible that you're going to be all of a sudden going back to work, you've got to introduce that concept gradually prior to doing that. You can't just one day on Tuesday say, bye, see ya, now you're gone for 8 hours.
That echoes the advice Kaywood gives to prospective adopters who come to the Augusta SPCA.
So if people use a routine, a daily routine, whether they're at home now or they return to work, most dogs adapt to that and they do very well. You'll get some with separation anxiety, but if you utilize the time that you're home with exercise and stimulating the animal, then everything should work out, whether you're back to work or if you're still at home.
Dr. Smith agrees.
Yeah, so I would emphasize just making sure that you do as much as you can if you have a dog, especially where you're worried about them adjusting, to try and get them a little bit more acclimated prior to when you're going to be gone again full time. The more you can do on the front end, I think the better outcome that you can expect if it is something that you're worried about.
And Molly Brennan reminds us of one very important fact, pandemic or not.
You are your dog's world.
As for your much more independent cat, Well, that's a different story. For WMRA News, I'm Jason Barr.
And full disclosure, Ashby Animal Clinic sponsors programs on WMRA. Learn more about that story at WMRA.org. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. Stay safely connected. I hope you enjoy your Friday.